Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday, and this is the Sunday show on Hear Me Monsters. Your hosts are Jack Jodell of Saturday Afternoon Post, and myself, Gwendolyn Berry from Roundtree7s, the number 7.com. This is the Sunday show on Hear Me Monsters. Welcome to it. Be right with you. As a matter of fact, right now, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
Good, Gwen, how are you?
I'm not too soggy, but my cousins up to the north are getting that way.
They're getting
now.
Pummeled, huh? Yeah, I bet they are. My
yeah.
goodness, that storm kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it? And it really has flooded the whole country on the eastern side.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the storms in October and November that can be real bastards.
Yeah, right.
This one is just like Isaac was, is just massive in its size. And
yeah.
My sister was here earlier telling me, well, she's sitting right there, but she was telling me that this storm has some other properties connected to it. In other words, there's a nor'easter coming down from
out of
the Arctic, and it's going to collide with this system.
Ooh.
And that is not good. That's why they've been calling it the Frankenstorm, or is that what they've been calling it? Frankenstein or whatever?
Well, it's a very devastating sounding, there's no doubt about it, and I'm sure it will be. It'll play a big role in people's lives over the next week.
Well, I hope for everyone in the path of all of this that there's safety, and that
yeah.
there is no large problems. I encourage people to remember that our ancestors used to understand that when the big rains and winds came, it cleaned all of the bad energy and all the bad dross away and let us start
mm-hmm.
again. So
right.
perhaps the effing political commercials will get blown away.
Oh, they can blow them off the face of the earth. Aren't they terrible? Honestly. You know, you're bombarded with them every show, whether it's network, whether it's local, whether it's cable, it doesn't matter. They're constantly on, and they're constantly driving me and everybody else absolutely crazy. Part of it's the way they insult your intelligence, the way they talk real hushed tones like, oh, they've got a big secret that you've just got to know about and act on, you know, which is insane. And secondly, just a lot of them are just blatant lies, you know.
And now, of course, they've got the scare, fear bullshit going down so that they can have their excuses to delay voting procedures, too, because of
oh,
this storm.
I know. It's yeah, there's a lot of devious behavior goes on at election time, and it's getting worse instead of better. I thought we'd finally reach a point where, you know, people would be more civil about it, but they're getting worse than they've ever been, at least in my lifetime.
Well, if Anita calls in later, she knows a little bit more about this than I do, but there's a lot of people that are understanding that this could be a storm that was whipped out there by HAARP and
uh-huh.
that there's purpose behind it.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that's getting really dark and conspiratorial.
Yeah.
And I always hesitate and look for more fact-finding before...
Right.
Adhering to that, but you know, Jack, we've had so much that has been revealed to us about the absolute underhandedness and corruption and illegal activity of the leadership, not just here, but almost in every country on this planet, that you can't help but pause when something like, you know, the addressing of HAARP being used to create a storm that causes enough havoc to make a big change in whatever it's looking like is the winner or not the winner of an election. You know, it's not something you wouldn't think was, if they could, they'd do that.
Well, the institutions that humanity has set up to run political campaigns around the world, and a lot of the political leaders themselves are basically corrupt, and they're very flawed, there's no doubt about it. And we just have to deal with that in the best way that we can. But the constant barrage of corporate money skewing campaigns in the favor of the person they want to win, that has got to stop. And it's excessive and it's obsessive and it's driving people crazy. You know, it makes people become apathetic because they're so full of these constant lies and they've had their belly full of it. They don't want to take part anymore. They're burned out. You know, we have our campaigns for president, for example, in this country. They last really about 2 years now. That's insane to have all these primaries that we never used to have, you know, and all these constant TV ads and the negative campaigning and the lies and the distortions.
It's really awful to sit back and think. I mean, they had the last debate, and basically both candidates were saying the same thing.
Well, yeah, that's a political tactic that was, devised by one of them especially to not say anything offensively dangerous that would cost them the election, you know.
Actually,
both were playing that game, but it's foolish. It's foolish in this country that you've got to go way off to one side or the other and then merge toward the middle as the campaign reaches its close. That's insanity. It's dishonest. It does a disservice to the American people.
The center doesn't hold. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But the other part about that is, and I've seen a lot of it in the social networks and on Twitter and reading the articles that have been posted on all of the different independent and more radical and union-oriented or socialist sites. And you'll see, and it is quite true, that both Mr. Romney and Mr. Obama's policies mirror one another a great deal. And,
yeah, they do. They do.
And it's disappointing that this whole campaign has been run across people for how long now, and not once have they spoken about the very real crisis of the environment that we're in the midst of. And it's just, as you say,
none of the guys that perpetrated the great losses on Wall Street a few years ago and the great losses of employment, none of them are in jail. None of them. And you know what? They should all be in jail. And I'll tell you what, that's the biggest disservice that's ever been done in this country, what they did and how it's been dealt with. And, you know, it's infuriating on one hand, but the biggest and most infuriating thing of all, I think, is the fact that once again we are forced, practically speaking, to endorse this concept of the lesser of two evils instead of really being strongly for somebody who really has a good chance of winning. You've got to take such imperfection and decide between, you know, two really non-acceptable candidates, you know. And it's really a shame.
It's hard. I've caught crap from friends who are, you know, you can say what you like, but he's still the viable candidate who's going to put moderates or liberals or progressives, which I think is Elena Kagan is not a liberal or progressive. I don't think she's such a hot supreme, but I do think Sotomayor is.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
But
at least she hasn't come up on the conservative side yet. That's good.
You know, it's really kind of strange. I did my voting already. I'm an early voter. I mail
good.
In. So I've already given the Green Party my best. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I sympathize with them to a great extent, but I also realize that they're a very small party that is not going to – the only thing that they can really do is play spoiler. And I'm not willing to play spoiler in this presidential election, of all of them, particularly this one, because I do not want Mitt Romney in the White House. I'm not pleased with Obama, as we've discussed many times, but I am definitely against Romney and Ryan's agenda. It is devastating to the country, and it's been tried before, and it's failed time and again. So it's just a mistake for people to endorse those guys or to vote for them. And I hate to see anything happen that might ensure that possibility.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jack, from the way I was fetched up by a Republican mother, and
sure.
From what I've done all my life, is to vote my values, my ethics, and my principles. And that's what
sure.
I did this time. And
right.
I did it the last time. And I don't regret my vote or the work I did.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a great deal from it, and it set
sure.
me on the path I'm on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there was goodness in that. I am horribly disappointed, as many, many people in this country are. Then again, there are many, many people in this country who only have the benefit of primetime commercials to choose from because... not because
those poor souls.
Yeah, it's because they're ignorant. Because they're raising families, they have no
right.
time to go and look up the information, and those
right.
who try to get, you know, you get slaughtered with the information that's out there. You have to
yeah.
really have kept a pulse on it, and people just
yeah.
don't have time to do it. And most people right now, their number one
mm-hmm.
issue is whether, I mean, I've heard this from candidates who walking the streets in my own little town here. Most
mm-hmm.
people's biggest concern
mm-hmm.
is if they're going to keep their job or they're going to get a job. And that
yeah.
means the economy is driving this argument for this presidential election.
It sure is.
And
there are dishonest people out there like Romney that are taking advantage
yeah.
of this sentiment, and they're promising the world, and they have no clue on how they're actually going to be able to deliver what they promise. It's a travesty.
Well, they're not going to. They have no intention of it. We
exactly
seen it long enough that we know it's all bullshit.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
People are not willing to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people are needing to hold on to some sanity
mm-hmm.
of honesty.
Yeah.
That didn't sound right, did it? Some sanity.
There's hardly any honesty in the current campaign.
I think almost everybody would say they're all liars because people
right.
are just that as we were speaking before the show went on, there's a psychological crisis that has hit most of the people in the world over leadership and elections. I mean,
right.
people are just, there's a global revolution going on. Why?
Yeah. Well,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think the reason for it all, and I don't pretend to have all the nuances in line for it, but I think the reason is most leaders, they first of all, they want their own way. Whatever it takes to get it, they'll say or do whatever it takes to do that. But beyond
mm-hmm.
that, they just want to be liked. And if they can't be liked, then they're going to make sure that they're not threatened. And to do that, they erect all kinds of weird institutions and barriers to the truth, and it just ensures their perpetuity in office, which is the wrong way to go about leading people.
But unfortunately,
it's practiced almost everywhere.
I kind of disagree with you in a way because
good.
I think
well.
They all know exactly what they're up to. They're bought and paid for by corporates.
Well, they sure are in this country. That's for damn sure.
They basically, I think they are worldwide. We've got a caller online. I'm not sure. I think it's. I think this is Anita Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And I've opened the mic up. So, caller.
Hey, it's me. Yes, I was just listening to a little bit of the conversation.
Hi, Anita.
And hi, how are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Great.
I just I know that everybody's all geared up for Election Day, and we've got the early voting and everything, but to be perfectly honest with both of you, I'm sitting this one out. I just cannot see, and this is just my own personal opinion, I just cannot see any positive anything about voting for anybody.
Wow.
It's just not working.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The election systems are fraudulent. They're talking about voter fraud, and really they should be talking about election fraud.
Yeah, candidate fraud.
Very
true.
And Anita
talked about candidate fraud.
this is to the point of a mass distraction when we should be talking about, you know, exactly how many of our rights are being taken away from us.
Right, good point.
And we also are in a situation where if there is an election going on, we should be having observers checking us out. We're always the first ones. Our government is always the first ones going to any third world country to observe.
Well, we're too arrogant to have our own observers here from another country. We're much too arrogant for that. We'd never put up for that, which is, you know, it tells a lot about our failures as a country, really.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's really, really scary how things have gone. I can't see any difference in whether Tweedledum or Tweedledee get elected. It's not going to make a bit of difference because the same policies are going to be put into play. Mm-hmm. And by either side. So I feel like it's a massive distraction and it's a waste of my time. And I never, ever, ever thought that I would say something like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've reached a new low in this country in politics and political discourse. We've got more information sources than ever before. Several of them are tainted, I'll grant you that. But nonetheless, we've got more information out there and we've got, at the same time, a greater amount of anxiety and true political fatigue than I think we've seen in any time in recent years sweeping across the entire country. People are fed up with this stuff. They don't want to talk about it. They get in arguments with their friends. They don't want to do that. They want to just have it be gone, you know. And that's dangerous because it leads to a person being politically punch drunk, where you'll accept or do anything just to quiet the argument. And I think that's very dangerous.
I'd agree with you. There's a politically psychological crisis going on that's acute in America right now. People do not, on the surface of it, do not trust what they hear on television anymore, which is, you know, really, folks, what we're probably talking about, in retrospect, one day we will look back and understand these might be good things because they might be what awakening requires.
Let's hope so.
And a lot of people have said something along the lines that if Romney gets elected, that it will reawaken the progressive base, and all of a sudden they'll be spurred into action just like before the elections of 2004.
Well, I'm not ready to risk that because I see his agenda and Paul Ryan's is totally devastating, and I'm not willing to risk that in hopes of progressives will wake up and take an active stance. I hope that would be the case, but I just don't want to go there. You know, that's my personal opinion. You know, we were talking, Anita, before you came on. Gwen and I, and before the show actually started, we were talking about it would be interesting to see a very reputable and very knowledgeable psychiatrist, or at the very least a psychologist, do a very detailed study of the American political psyche and tell us where we're at in terms of our insanity or sanity or whatever the case may be, and give us a full analysis of what has happened to our country, you know? Wouldn't that be interesting to hear?
That would be interesting. I've heard it compared compared to the abused wife syndrome.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, the abused wife who continues to take the abuse,
mm-hmm.
continues to get smacked down,
right.
but yet always goes back to her husband because of her faith and trust and
yeah.
And her faith that he's going to get better,
yeah.
you know, and nothing gets better, it gets worse.
Yeah,
right.
But that
but
really hits the nail on the head, Anita.
I think it
yeah,
does.
A codependent, mm-hmm. a true codependent relationship.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
You know,
that's,
we're
yeah.
supposedly the freest country in the world, but there's a log jam in Washington, and there has been for many years. We can't seem to get a damn thing done. Even at the local level, there's disputes and conflicts and things that shouldn't take a lot of effort to have passed do take a terrible amount of effort and a lot of mudslinging and unfair activity and behind-the-scenes dirty money and everything else. It's very sick.
Yeah.
You got that right.
Yeah, I don't know what will change, but all I know is I had to completely, I mean, for those of you that are listening, I'm sure some of you may know, you know, what has happened to me in the realm of politics. You know, you work for a presidential campaign and expect to get paid and don't get paid. I've stepped away. In fact, I've actually taken myself off of a lot of subscription lists because
mm-hmm.
I don't even want to hear about the political scene anymore. It's just I'm more caught up in the day-to-day things that I have to do just to get
survive,
by
yeah.
regarding
yeah.
my household, and that has to take a priority.
Sure.
You know, so
it, well,
far I'm owed thousands of dollars from this one campaign.
Oh, Lord.
And did not get paid, and it has created a complete hardship on my family.
Not
and,
good.
Yeah, and, you know, there's even friends of mine that are continuing to support this campaign. And,
well, you've truly been victimized, you know, and that's a terrible shame. And you know what's dangerous about that? If and when that happens to enough people will turn off, and then the very crooked elements yeah. out there will just have a field day doing what and manipulating whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want, to whomever they want, and it'll be absolute tyranny.
Well, you
yeah.
know, it's really hard to sling it or open people's eyes, especially to celebrity, and that's what Anita has been fighting against. She worked for. Am I allowed to speak about this, Anita?
I would say whatever you want because you know it's not
no,
in litigation.
It's, public relations representative for the Sheehan Bar or Bar Sheehan run for the presidency, and she's Roseanne Barr is actually on the presidential tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that it basically Anita went through being frauded. The campaign is probably a publicity gig for a documentary the lady's making.
Yeah,
and
look at the victims it's created.
Well, yes, and look at the shame of this too. Roseanne actually has a pretty freaking good head on her shoulders. She's very well versed in the issues,
mm-hmm.
and she has the ability to lead. And obviously, she's
mm-hmm.
created quite a following as far as this candidacy goes, but people are not aware that this candidacy is another chapter in a book of celebrity, not about actual governance of a country or a people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is atrocious. That's outrageous. And somebody
I agree. It's a commercialization of something that shouldn't be commercialized in the first place.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a defrauding of, you know, everything that the FEC is set up. You know, there's...
Well, it's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
it's,
there's contributions
it's just a spectacle.
That have been taken.
It's
yeah,
a managed spectacle. It's disgusting.
Right. Contributions have been taken for this campaign, and
yeah.
and the people working for the campaign, you know, well.
And they were given in good faith by supporters who believed in that particular cause, and they shouldn't have to become victims of their own good-hearted nature. You know, there's something very cynical about that.
Their enthusiasm for a candidate, the time and effort they put into it, and
mm-hmm.
we just spoke about the horrible psychological, you know, crack-up that is going on politically in this country. When people give you their support
mm-hmm.
in leadership,
right.
towards leadership, that's a sacred thing.
It
and
sure is.
From politics anymore is that sacred, that moral compass,
mm-hmm.
that ethical, value-based choice that individual people, a constituency, gives to a support in support to any candidate that's running to be a leadership. And as a leader, they are accepting the responsibility of that constituency. It's just abhorrent what has happened to American and really global leadership. Humanity itself right now is looking for its humanity. We've lost our compass, lost our values.
Anita, if I could ask, you are owed money by this campaign. Are they making any effort whatsoever to take care of people like yourself, or are they just dropping it and moving on to the next little escapade?
I was working with her attorney at one point,
mm-hmm.
who basically was he said, you know, here's the non-disclosure form and sign it and, you know, we'll get your money. And he said, don't sign it until I can tell you that she's put funds in the client trust account for you.
Oh,
and
Lord.
That never happened.
Lord.
The last time I spoke to him, I said, you know, have the funds been put in the client trust account? And he said no.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, all the data about everything had already been turned over to a media person. And
mm-hmm.
I simply, you know, he was given instruction not to print anything. At that point, I called him and said, print it. And because at that point, I had enough. You know,
yeah, I don't blame
promises,
you.
Enough bullshit.
I don't blame you at all. And you worked. Yeah. You took time out of your personal, your family life and everything else to work toward this cause, and you were just being played for a sucker.
It wasn't even like a stipend or anything. This had been my job, and
right.
because I had been unemployed and underemployed for a good portion of this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I expected to be paid for that. And now, you know, living under poverty wages for, you know, a household of two, while this woman, who's the second richest woman in America,
right.
Can't write me a check for
that's
the several
pathetic.
Thousand dollars she owes me.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
Beyond reprobate.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Beyond imagination, it's a situation that should never occur, no matter what the circumstances.
Right. And then, you know, Cindy Sheehan had made a public statement, you know, that she was not going to be VP again. I had kind of clued her into what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did have a conversation earlier this past week. You know, I love Cindy, and she said that she had spoken with, Roseanne had sent an email, and Cindy had changed her stand. So she really wants to support the Peace and Freedom Party, and I don't blame her. That's what she wants to do by doing this. So as far as I know, she is, you know, still on the ticket with Roseanne, because it'd be
mm-hmm.
too difficult to come off of that ticket at this
yeah.
point, at this late date. But, you know, I really just have to step away from the whole thing. But I was threatened by the attorney that I would be sued for defamation of character. Roseanne had said that she'd sue me for extortion.
How can that be? You weren't paid anything. How could you? What is she talking about? That's crazy.
So it's a situation of Okay, well, what are you going to sue me for? I don't own a home. I have a 14-year-old car that's falling apart. So,
yeah.
So you're going to sue me? What are you intend to get?
You know, it's just a little power play on a person that should have their ego in place, but evidently it's way out of line. That's crazy.
Yeah. So this is a situation where I need to step away from all of it.
I don't blame you.
I
would be terribly disillusioned. I'd be shattered, and I'm sure you are right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And my question is, how many campaigns are doing the same thing to their people? I heard about a few that this has happened to.
Campaigns have always been driven by volunteerism and very, very low wages.
Right.
I worked a couple in my time, and, you know, it's always primarily volunteer driven. Even larger, look at how many volunteers are working for the presidential candidates all over, including the big parties.
But I venture to say that anybody that's working in a staff position for these campaigns
are making good money usually. Yeah, right.
Well, that's not always true. A lot of the Democrats that are working staff for like state senators and such work at.
We're talking national level.
We're talking federal level, and it's different.
Yeah, so this is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, federal level, is a lot different, and the expertise goes along with it, and there's usually not just a volunteer kind of crowd there as staff. So.
And especially in your case, Anita, you were working for a person who has many millions of dollars at her disposal, and there that in and of itself is just makes the whole thing ludicrous that it happened the way it did.
Right. So
unbelievable.
I'm not afraid to speak out because at this point,
what can you lose?
I can't lose anything.
Yeah.
They owe me, but they can't take anything from me because I don't have anything. So
there you go. That's right. And it's a real shame that it turned out the way that it did. It didn't have to. It was completely avoidable and completely unnecessary.
Right. Exactly.
And
so
I am so sorry that you experienced
that. I have to really just say at this point that that I'm stepping away. And, you know, I don't know if I'll run for anything again at the end of my term in 2 years, you know, and just what I will do, because I need to know that if I'm running for something, that the system is fair. And if it's not fair, you know, why be a part of it? I mean, one thing that people can say about me that know me is I work with integrity and nothing else. And people that know me know that about me. So the fact that this happened, and, you know, there were other people that were involved, other people that I had worked with before, other people that I had done free work for many years that were just as involved in this situation.
Look, you did actually have an agenda today on the show. You were going to come on to make a plug for your show. Correct?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to work out whether we did a time change, and I'm trying to work out whether we did the right thing by making that time change or if it's too difficult for people to listen. We have a show on Friday nights called the Wise Women Media Radio Show. It's on Here Be Monsters. It starts at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. We've really tried to change the topic a little bit. Mostly in the beginning it was just politics and about political women over 40 that were doing things to change the world. We were trying to add, and we're actually in the process of doing this now, to add other topics of sustainability and DIY and things like that, and kind of mixing it up a bit. We had Darlene Sharples on last week, who is a an expert in Canada with food storage, canning, and jarring. It was a great show. I learned a lot. I learned a lot in the production of the show and actually doing the research. And then I learned even more from her. And, of course, I developed a contact. So now if I have any questions about canning and jarring and food storage, I know who to speak with.
Hello. What happened?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I was just not there.
Yeah.
Good.
Jack, while Anita was talking, go on, Anita. You're on now, Jack.
Yeah, I'm on. Okay.
What happened?
Oh, good. We lost you for a minute.
Yeah, I was hanging in space out there. Wow, you know.
So this week we had Julie Dermansky, who's really taken her camera all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And covered so many different topics. She's been at the different Occupy huge actions. She's an amazing photographer, and a lot of her stories are being picked up by a lot of these big articles now. She recently did an article for The Atlantic, and she works out of New York City and New Orleans, so she has a lot to tell us about the Gulf and about
Great.
The environment. But in any case, she was on last Friday, this past Friday. Great show. We talked about the tar sands action. So anybody who wants to get in on that show, leave a message on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/wisewomenmedia, or see us at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com. You can leave comments there on the blog. But let us know if that 11 o'clock time is kind of a weird time for you, and it's not a time that's doable for you. Perhaps we do need to switch it back to 8 o'clock on Friday nights, and maybe we'll have more listeners. But
that's 11 o'clock Eastern time, is that right?
Right, and I did that basically because I thought if we're interviewing or we're getting listeners, we can get them even in California at a decent hour.
That's true, yeah, very true.
Well,
so I just
one thing you might do is think about doing recording a 30-second spot that you can upload onto this board here, the studio board, and just leave me a note to play it.
Oh, okay.
Other shows. As a matter of fact, I need to remind myself to, like, always give our sponsors a plug, like DaughtersOfIsis.com, sponsors Here Be Monsters, and so does Roundtree7.com, bringing knowledge to the social consciousness. I have to get those promos redone, but it's a good thing, and I should put little stick-me notes up so that I play them during sometimes though we have conversations going on that it's hard to break into, you know?
Right, exactly.
Or maybe we can do something like at the half hour of our shows, always jump in and do either play the spot or actually list the sponsors. And, put in a plug for everybody else's show. That might work, too. So, that's just throwing it out there.
That's a good idea. If it's systematic and it's regular, it'll be easier to remember and it'll already be slotted in.
Having a 30-second spot makes it a whole lot easier.
Yes.
We have, after the elections, we have past senator from West Virginia, Ms. Pritt, will be our guest. And she's somebody who went from being red to being independent. And I believe she's supporting President Obama in this run, but she's supporting more the Green Party in the state of West Virginia because of the appalling environmental circumstances surrounding her.
Right.
And she did a wonderful television commercial that was played by the Sierra Club up in in Virginia and West Virginia. And hang on, here, listen, take a listen to this. This is very good. Listen
good.
To this.
Mm-hmm.
I have just last night changed my registration to Mountain Party. And that was something that took a lot of reflection and soul searching, because it means if my dad finds out, which he will, there's probably going to be an interesting family talk around the table about what's happened in that venue. But it seemed a natural thing when I stopped to do a reality check of where the Democratic Party was, what was happening within the party, what was happening within our country. I had to face the realization that now we really are more a fascist country than we are a democracy or a republic. We look at the definition of fascism as a dictatorship with a leadership in cahoots with business, and the government is in cahoots with big business, and we have belligerent nationalism. So I think that the reflection of Occupy lets us know that this is where we are, because they're protesting that very invasion of our own democratic republic. So I had to accept the fact that my own party, especially here in the state of West Virginia, now on the national level it's different, but here in West Virginia, my own party is a part of that fascist tendency with the multinationals coming in, using fracking and destroying the groundwater, blowing the tops off mountains for greed, for their own money, where we see so many people in West Virginia without, and a few of the people outside the state having a great deal of money. So I did a lot of searching. I looked at, who am I? Who am I really? Am I a Democrat? Am I this or that? I realized that I'm a progressive. I am a progressive. I'm a progressive Democrat. I'm a liberal. I'm a reformer. And when I looked at the dictionary definition of that, I found that actually Theodore Roosevelt, a Republican, had started the Progressive Party in the United States way back when. And I also saw that the progressive tax that Obama is talking about, taxing the wealthy at a higher rate, is also in the definition of progressive. So I realized that it's not a party label, actually, that makes us a progressive. It's our views and our willingness to stand up for the people, for the environment, for making change, to having the courage to actually do something about what's happening. So progressives are those who are moving forward, and they're moving forward in the face of sometimes insurmountable odds. But I realize that I'm the type of person that if I don't stand up for what I know is right, if I don't join arms with the people who are fighting the good fight, then I can't really respect myself. And so when I realized that this year, with all of the things that were happening with the Democratic Party, that the party was no longer the party of the progressives. The party had changed into something, morphed into something that was not a part of something I wanted to be a part of here in West Virginia. I also realized that in West Virginia, that the only people, the only party that had been carrying the banner, and I mean they were carrying the banner in the face of not being allowed to be on public broadcasting. They were not being allowed to have poll workers in the poll. They were being treated as a third world country would treat their election process. Our candidates were not allowed, we could not even have the kind of editorials or even to be interviewed by our major newspapers that were supposedly liberal newspapers. We have a sense here in which the Mountain Party has been in the desert carrying our banner. They may be tattered, they may be torn, but their spirits are high. And it is time for every progressive in this state to start doing what we should have done years ago. We were sitting back philosophizing when we had Mountain Party candidates and Mountain Party people, the few of them who were struggling, who were working for us, for our values, while we were sitting back talking about how we didn't want to leave a certain party or we didn't want to do a certain thing. And I'm just saying now, wake up, West Virginia. Wake up, workers. Wake up, people in West Virginia below the $250,000. Wake up, West Virginia students who have loans. Wake up, hunters and fishermen who want to make certain that we have fish in our streams and we want to be able to have the beauty of our land. Wake up, women. Wake up, women of West Virginia. When I think of the women through the suffragette movement who suffered, went to jail, and then went through torture so they could we could have the right to vote, what are you doing voting for people who are not pro-choice? What are you doing, women of West Virginia? We need to wake up, West Virginia. There is an alarm going off, and I am challenging every progressive in this state to join me, to join the Mountain Party, either in changing your registration or coming with us so that Progressives United can stand, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or Independent. We need to move, and we need to move now.
Such fabulous articulation. What a great lady.
I have seen that. Actually, I have worked a little bit with Jesse Johnson, who is in the Mountain Party, which is a branch of the Green Party in West Virginia. It is it is technically what they call the Green Party. And Jesse Johnson has run for Senate and for governor in that state. So he, I can't remember whether it was he or his other half that actually sent me that video that was broadcasted on their local news channels. So I was real happy to see that because Jesse Johnson is definitely at the forefront of and has been for, you know, to stop the fracking in that state. And apparently this lady is too,
Charlotte,
and has joined forces with them.
Charlotte, so, she was a senator for West Virginia. And she's going to be running again only on the ticket that's, you know, Independent Mountain.
Well, she's
like
a very, very able advocate, and she's a very convincing speaker. She has a definite future out there if she keeps at it.
Well, she comes
and I encourage anybody to also look up the videos of Jesse Johnson, too, because he had he did run for president on the Green Party ticket. He was nominated in 2008, and in I'm not sure about 2004, but I'm pretty sure 2008. He was there was four of them nominated, and of course Cynthia McKinney got the nomination that year.
And you know, simply because of the domination of the media by the six major corporations. We don't. I've never heard of Jesse Johnson, and to my astonishment, I wish I had. People like that are outstanding, and they are the real backbone of the country because they're out. They're other directed. They're out to help everybody, not just a narrow bunch of profiteering special interests.
Charlotte Pritt is going to be our guest the week after the election.
Great.
And I want to invite folks to come back and hear her speak because she has a lot to say about how important it is to focus and center and rally around environmentally based political action groups that have become parties like Green and are tied to Green for local and national elections. It's really important. You know, everybody keeps saying, oh, lesser than two evils, and I'm not going to, you know, you should vote for who's going to make the choices for the Supreme Court and this, that, and the other. And Jack, you brought up something I hear quite a bit about, what is it, spoiler. You know, it's like Nader was always spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If not me, then who? And if not now, when? We have to simply stop thinking that way. We have to start thinking. Yes,
well, you know, I think that, you know, Gwen, I'll disagree with you only in one sense, and I'll say this right now. I think the proper time to do it isn't, you know, a week before the presidential election. I think the proper time to do that is to build something, and that requires steady, relentless dedication for many years. And when you can build something viable, it takes a long time, especially in this two-party system that we're stuck with. It can happen, but it can't happen overnight.
It takes people really putting the commitment there, and I have for over a year, Christ, you've been sitting here with me.
Sure.
For
year I've been touting green for candidacy for presidency. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have to make the commitment and follow through on it. I mean, it's everybody's own choice, and it shouldn't be something that's held to public what your choice is. If you are an advocate, though, and an activist, then, you know, advocating to vote for the lesser of two evils, in my opinion, is not an advocacy for something good, something which defines the term progressive. That's just not right.
Well,
it's
very frustrating because it seems to be the only practical method of achieving any sort of success whatsoever, and that's what's the devil in the details right there.
Well, I can tell people a little bit about my story that might be listening in.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm the only elected Green in the state of Florida at this present time. We do have another. I did want to put in a plug for Karen Morian, who is running up in Jacksonville for a House seat. She's a great interview if you want to have her on at any point. But
yeah.
We're hoping that she wins because we'll actually have a Green Party voice in Tallahassee, and we so desperately need that at the state level. But to make a long story short, I was a lifelong Democrat until I saw in 2008. I saw how corrupted they had become in regards to the debates after working as a staff member with Dennis Kucinich and for his run for the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
When his campaign was over in January of 2008, I realized that he was never going to get into the debates and that the Democrats definitely were not much different than the Republicans and how just how his own party had treated him like a dog, basically.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 or 3 weeks later I went and flipped my voter ID to green, and I encourage anybody out there to build momentum for 2014 and 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Read the Green Party platform. Just go to gp.org and read the platform, because the platform is really, it covers the bases. It's really what most Americans that I speak to really want.
Right.
And, you know, we have a great candidate this time with Dr. Jill Stein. And, in fact, she will be on another debate sponsored by Free and Equal. I don't have the time on that, though.
I saw it posted. I've seen it flying through Twitter, and I saw it posted on Facebook.
Yeah, because they did have the other debate with Free and Equal just this past week. I think it was Tuesday night. It was Jill, Gary Johnson, Virgil Good with the Constitution Party, and wait a minute, Rocky Anderson. So it was the four of them. So it was narrowed down to Jill Stein and Gary Johnson with the Libertarian Party, and they will be debating sometime this week with Free and Equal. So and they're calling this, of course, expand the debates and
My sister actually, excuse me, Anita, my sister actually just said that debate from Tuesday night was rebroadcast on C-SPAN last night, too, you know.
Yeah, and it did run live on C-SPAN that night, too, because I watched it on C-SPAN.
Okay.
So they had it on C-SPAN, on RT, Russian television. And there was one other website, but I was actually watching it on television on C-SPAN when it was airing. So they will no doubt do the same thing again, actually have it on C-SPAN. So
that's momentum. That is a bit more momentum when you see that. But if you Jack is exactly correct that we have to build this. I say, though, that building goes along with your voting, too. From my perspective, you know, you put your money where your mouth is, kind of thing.
Yeah, you do, but you know, I just am very hesitant to let Romney cakewalk to the White House just because of a bunch of smaller players were frittering away at what could prevent him from getting there. You know, I'm very unwilling at this point in time. Now, if the Green Party, I'd be the first guy on the block to jump up and down and recommend the Green Party if I could see them post even 20% of the vote. But they're nowhere near getting that high anywhere. And it's just until they do, we've got my commitment will be toward working toward their goals and trying to apply myself in a progressive method to ensuring that someday they replace this defunct Democratic Party and turn it into what it used to be years and years and years ago, because it's so far from where it was, it's pathetic.
Heard it. As long as we keep supporting it with our votes, it's going to stay right where it is, doing the same old crap.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack, I respect your opinion. I think that you have every right to it. I friendly disagree.
Yeah, I'm as frustrated with the whole situation as you are, Gwen, and as with a lot of our listeners are. I know that, but there comes a time where I think you've got to be practical, and you've got to prevent something worse from happening.
I don't think that Romney's going to, honestly, guys, and I know I'm going to catch hell from the front room when I say this, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Romney is that much worse or better than Obama at this point, from what I've seen.
That may very well be true, but I don't like where he comes from, and I don't like who he's running with.
Neither.
In the least.
Neither.
Not even, they're the absolute vilest people. They're people 180 degrees from where I stand, and I just cannot stand the thought of that guy entering the White House and having all the power at his command. The guy is inept, and he's only for the 1%. We've been fighting this 1%, 99% battle for over a year now. I can't see just acquiescing and letting him sneak in through the back door. I just can't see it.
One sees it as an acquiescence, but here's the thing. I don't think he's sneaking in through the back door. If he wins, he's going to win because people made a choice.
Oh, yeah.
In the large numbers who made a choice to vote for him and not for Obama.
Right, right.
Cynthia McKinney always says something that's really good. She says, you vote with your conscience and you vote for the person that that best represents your values.
Oh, yeah.
So wise, because if that in fact is true for me, there is no way, if I was voting, that I could vote for either Obama or Romney.
Oh, right.
I would have to place my vote with somebody I know that represents my values, and it's definitely not Obama.
Right.
And I respect everyone's opinion on this, but this is just my opinion.
Sure.
I cannot vote for more war.
And
Romney or Obama are in office,
we're going to have
more
war.
There will be more war.
Because they're bought out by the defense contractors.
The good part about all of this is that you, Jack, and I, and Anita can sit here on air and we can have our opinions and we can actually broadcast them.
Yeah, and not rip everybody's face off.
Right.
And you know what? It used to be that you would hear somebody say, and you can only do that in America. And we all know that that's kind of bullshit. And we're down to the last moment, guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Anita, for calling in today.
Thanks, Anita.
On Friday at 11 p.m. And that's Jack Jodell, who's always here with me and always bright and always progressive. And that's Saturday Afternoon Post blog.
Yep. Nice being with all of you today, and we'll look forward to next week. It should be an interesting show.
You all have a great night.
And you too. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.